What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Seven-yard field goal is away. Oh, it hits the upright. No good. We'll try a 49-yard field goal. There is wind, and the kick is no good. He's missed two.
Thank God Braden Narveson is no longer on the Packers.
That was in my hater era. I was pulling missed field goal highlights.
Oh, my God. That was the last time they played the Vikings. Two missed field goals by the Packers to go along with several interceptions by Jordan Love. The Packers lost. Now, sweet revenge time in Minnesota. Hopefully coming up Sunday, 3:25 start. After the game, you make the switch right back here to the Fan for the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Myself, Tommy Wirtz, will both be here. It's the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder and Ellis. Both are off today. Mason will be back on Monday. He's traveling down to see his Colorado Buffaloes in the Alamo Bowl, but he'll be back on Monday for a Green and Gold Monday as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Let's get...
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Vikings angle on this whole deal with Matthew Collar, of course, from purpleinsider.com. He joins us now. Follow him on Twitter at Matthew Collar. Thanks for coming on, buddy. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. Mason Crosby would have never missed those field goals, I don't think.
No, not like that. No, not at all. And that's the one thing, right? If you want to start talking about keys to this Packers turnaround and season, part of it for the Packers, obviously, is Brandon McManus and being able to sign him and not have to worry about field goal kicking for the remainder of the year. From a Vikings perspective, we were talking about this earlier, actually in our last show on the Pack-A-Day radio show, back in the 8 o'clock hour. As far as, you know, are you buying the Vikings kind of being a team that can go to a Super Bowl? And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm having a hard time buying into Sam Darnold being that big game quarterback game after game after game in the postseason without, you know, rearing its ugly head of turnovers popping up for Sam Darnold and costing the Vikings a chance at a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's understandable, and I can't predict the future. So if I tell you that he hasn't been turning the ball over lately and then he throws three interceptions, my bad. But there was really a turning point in this season when it came to Sam Darnold either being kind of the old Sam Darnold, which turned the ball over all the time, versus the Minnesota Vikings version. And that was a game in the middle of the season against Jacksonville. Yep. That the Vikings won 12-7. They got away with that one. But Darnold threw three interceptions inside the opposing team's 30-yard line. And after that, he and Kevin O'Connell really went back to the drawing board and looked deep into what they had done throughout the sample size of the early part of the season to succeed. And coming out of that game, Darnold took a little bit of a new approach of game managing until he didn't have to, which means throwing the ball away sometimes, taking a sack sometimes, checking it down sometimes. And then when the moment requires, like it did last week against the Seattle Seahawks, doing something really special, which is escaping the pocket, stepping up, firing it 40 yards down the field to Justin Jefferson. And I think that over the last seven games or so, we've really seen him look like an elite quarterback, because to me, the elite quarterbacks in the league don't turn the ball over, but produce at a high level, high yards per attempt, completion percentage. They maximize their wide receivers. They give their wide receivers chances down the field. They throw into tight windows, and they come through at the biggest times. And that's really what Sam Darnold has done over the last 7 weeks. I mean, they were down 13 points in the second half to Arizona. Darnold needs a 4th-and-6 conversion to go win that game. He gets it. You saw it last week against Seattle where, you know, Seattle's starting to get to him. They're starting to pressure him in the second half. It's a loud environment. It's raining. Everything's kind of going against him a little bit there, and he comes through with a big play to win the game. And I mean, that's the type of stuff that you need to do in the playoffs. I don't know if he's going to do it, because we are still dealing with a small sample size of Sam Darnold playing well. But, you know, it actually kind of reminds me of the Jordan Love conversation a little bit, where it's like no one's going to believe it until the guy's got a ring, I guess. But at least what I've seen over this entire season is Sam Darnold's been one of the 5 or 6 best quarterbacks in the entire NFL, which to me, as you go into the playoffs, it gives you a chance to win. I don't think that it's – and when you consider the guy's talent, I don't think it's a Case Keenum type of situation where you're saying, all right, the wheels are eventually going to come off. And this guy is a huge athlete with a giant arm who was taken number 3 overall. This is what he was supposed to be. If there's any anomaly, it might have been in the past, then he just was under such bad situations. But until we have the bigger sample in the playoffs, nobody really knows.
Talking with Matthew Collar, PurpleInsider.com, about the Minnesota Vikings. They get ready to take on the Packers. As far as Darnold goes, obviously a lot of the outside stuff that you hear is, boy, they're going to have to give him an extension. They're going to have to pay him. And then what does that mean for J.J. McCarthy going forward? What are your thoughts on that? I had mentioned that I think maybe it's a 2-year extension, maybe, and McCarthy sits for a couple of years. And then if Darnold is still playing at that high of a level in a couple of years, then maybe, you know, you give him a bigger deal, extend him out more, and then maybe you move J.J. McCarthy. But I can't imagine they give Darnold like a 5-year deal or something and essentially punt on McCarthy.
No, I don't think so. And they have the franchise tag in their back pocket, which is always a big part of this conversation as well, because you can just kick the ball down the road for another year. And when you look at their salary cap situation, it's really – sometimes I'm amazed at the – I don't know. When people talk about how you can't win with an expensive quarterback, I just can't believe that this take still exists when you look at – all the teams in the playoffs in the NFC, and all of them have paid their quarterbacks except for Washington. And the Vikings right now are playing this season where they have 13 wins with $70 million in dead cap. And you'll never guess who makes up a lot of that, Kirk Cousins. They have $40+ million tied up in their quarterback situation right now. And then people are saying, no, they couldn't possibly win if they're paying, you know, money to the quarterback next year. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I think that there are a few different ways to approach it. Just straight up franchise tagging him is one of them. And, you know, I'm not going to cry any tears for Sam Darnold if he makes $45 million on a franchise tag next year. Or they could do some sort of Baker Mayfield type short-term deal that's maybe 3 years, but it's actually kind of 2 years, and they can hedge a little bit on that. And with J.J. McCarthy, nobody knows better than you guys that it's okay to develop a young quarterback.
Yep, agreed.
Everyone loves McCarthy. They want to see him. He looked great in preseason. He looked great in training camp. The organization, trust me, the organization is very high on J.J. McCarthy. But that doesn't mean that after a 13 or 14 or 15 win season that the Vikings should just say, hey, kid, you go do the same thing that Sam Darnold just did. Oh, you've never played before? Oh, you missed your whole rookie season with a knee injury and couldn't throw a single pass? okay, go leave this entire franchise full of veteran players who are trying to win the Super Bowl. I think we've gone past go there. If they had won 9 games, 10 games, okay. But I mean, we're talking a 13-win season where they have a potential chance to get the number one seed. That to me is too much to put on the shoulders of J.J. McCarthy, who, by the way, didn't even throw that many passes in college.
Right.
I mean, he needs this development time. He needs a year where he's an active backup, I think. We've just kind of reached that point. But, you know, just like with the Rodgers and Love thing, everyone, when are they going to see Love? It's an outside talking point. But for the organization, it was a major plus for years there in Green Bay.
The Packers come in the top five in rushing offense fourth. The Vikings come in with a top five rushing defense. The last time these two teams met, the Packers did not have this run-first identity and mentality as they do now here in the second half of the season. How do you feel about that matchup from Minnesota's perspective?
Yeah, I think that this is going to be, if we're doing a keys to the game graphic, I might have that as my number one key to the game, is just how Josh Jacobs performs against this defense, because it really is built on the defensive line to stop the run. They've got three big dudes that they try to fill all the gaps with, and then the Vikings are bringing back Ivan Pace Jr., who is a heck of a player when it comes to playing against the run. He's really good at defeating blocks and knifing through it and getting tackles for loss and things like that. He's coming back and he'll be healthy. So that's a big deal for this defense. But, you know, the Packers, the one thing that Matt LaFleur really has over a lot of coaches is the man just understands how to run the football. When you watch the Packers run, you see a lot of creativity. You see a lot of great execution from the offensive line, the running back knows exactly where he's going to go. It's really like the old Mike Shanahan or what Kyle Shanahan's done for a lot of years. I think of it the same way, which makes it extremely difficult for the Vikings to stop up front. And when the Vikings have had any trouble at all against the run game, that's when everything else kind of comes apart for them defensively. And they're a great defense. They're number two in the league in scoring. So, you know, they are a great defense. But the few times where we've seen someone like Detroit have success against them, or the Rams have success against them, it all kind of started with the run. Because if you're putting the Vikings in situations where it's second down and three, well, Brian Flores can't really send all those blitzers when it's second and three. If it's second and eight, then he can load up and do that on a passing down. So I think that it does all start there. And the other thing, the Vikings have allowed opponents to stay on the field for long, extended drives. There has been some bend, don't break to this defense, and they've gotten worn down. And we've seen them in some fourth quarters getting worn down against teams that could run the ball, even when they played Atlanta and Bijan Robinson was having success running the ball. So I think it really does all start there with Josh Jacobs.
How about the Vikings' offensive line? I mean, you guys have given up 46 sacks on the year, ninth most in the NFL. This Packers defense finally is starting to get to the quarterback here in the last few games. How do you feel about, from a pass protection standpoint, going into this game and keeping Darnold upright? Because I think that's a huge game for the Packers, being able to get home and hit him.
Yeah, the sack thing is interesting because the Vikings try to push the ball down the field so much, and I think Darnold likes to stay on the read as long as he can, and he's kind of not afraid of getting hit. Sometimes you'd like him to be a little more afraid of getting hit, especially as we go down the stretch
yep.
here to the playoffs. But I think that there's that sort of the give and take you have when you have a downfield passing offense, is that you are going to open yourself up to some blitzes and to if an offensive lineman is struggling. And to me, the soft spot of the Vikings offensive line is the same spot that I would have told you for probably the last 10 years, if you asked, which is the interior. And Kenny Clark has eaten up this team time and time again. But then you add kind of a myriad of rushers on Green Bay. It's not just one guy that you're trying to take out of the game and then you're going to be okay. It's really four, five, six guys that can create pressure on the passer, which I think is going to be difficult for the Vikings to handle. Sam Darnold, as great as he's been across the board, if there's one area that I think it's been a little bit short, it's in setting the protections against blitzes, reading blitzes, pre-snap, all that sort of stuff. We've seen a lot of free runners at him, and sometimes he's dodged them and made great plays. But I think, you know, you go, okay, was that supposed to be how that was supposed to be blocked up? Because I don't think so. Right, or someone coming off the edge, sneaking off the edge and hitting him. I think you saw that the last time they played Green Bay, they surprised them with a cornerback blitz.
Keyshawn.
That resulted in a fumble. Yep, exactly. So I do think that that is something that they can do, which it kind of goes back to the Vikings need to be able to run the ball with Aaron Jones and keep Green Bay out of those things. So we're a little bit old school here, I feel like, with some of these keys to the game.
Talking with Matthew Collar, purpleinsider.com. I want to make sure before we move on here, we promote your book that came out a little while back, Football, A Numbers Game. Tell everybody what this is all about, because, you know, everybody says, stats, bunch of nerds, who cares? But it's now kind of found its way into the National Football League after having kind of lived in baseball for so long.
Yeah, no, you're right. So I spent a year and a half around Pro Football Focus to figure out what it was that they do, where they came from, how they work with teams and all those things, and found a pretty wild story there. And I don't think that people realize just how influential PFF is behind the walls of the buildings of the NFL. People in the league told me that they think the PFF founder belongs in the Hall of Fame. That's how much it impacts their week to week. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how much, you know, every team is using their data to prepare for every game. What's really cool, I think, about the NFL and its adoption of data is that now every team knows everything you do and your opponent knows everything you do with all the numbers. It's right there, all your tendencies, the coverages that you play, the routes that you run, all those things. So then it's how can you tweak those things and change those things to catch your opponent off guard, because they've got all the numbers. It's not just like it was back in the day. We run our offense, you run your defense. Now, every single game is its own unique thing between the two teams, and that's a lot driven by data. So it was very, very interesting to get behind the walls there and find a lot more than just the grades that people like to argue about on the internet.
Football Is a Numbers Game, available at Amazon.com. Go get that today. You will love, love, love reading that book. All right, prediction time as we wrap this thing up here. Who do you got?
You know, I might go with the Packers by like 3 points.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. It's this one. My prediction is it's going to be great, I think, right? These two teams are so even. They have the same point differentials. If you like analytics, the DVOAs are almost the same. I mean, it's two really close teams, man. I don't know. I think it's going to be a very close game that comes down to maybe Mason Crosby comes in and kicks a game-winning field goal.
Yeah, no, that means we don't have a radio show if he leaves us. I don't want that to happen. I want him on the radio on Monday. Matthew Collar, purpleinsider.com. Go buy his book as well. Thank you so much for coming on. Follow him on Twitter at Matthew Collar. Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Matthew Collar on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. I'm Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, filling in today as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Coming up in hour two, we'll talk more about the Packers and Vikings and more of a national perspective from Mike Renner from CBS Sports. He used to be with Pro Football Focus back in the day. He'll join us coming up at 1040. Looking forward to talking to him. But up next, who is your Packers X Factor for this game coming up on Sunday? Who is your X Factor? Dial it up. Let's talk. Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at The Fan Milwaukee.